Fraud has been a long-standing concern for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, better known as SNAP, or food stamps. About a year ago, the Government Accountability Office took a look at that program and made recommendations that the Food and Nutrition Service reassess the detection tools they were using. Today, FNS is cracking down on SNAP trafficking with predictive analysis. John Lemon is a systems engineer with SAS Federal. He joins me now to discuss that program. Mr. Lemon, great to have you on.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, so first of all, what is SNAP trafficking in the first place?
Well, usually when the government tries to hand out money as benefits, someone's out there trying to steal it. So SNAP's another example of how this is being done. Oftentimes, beneficiaries are given benefit cards, let's say in the amount of $200 for this example, and then they turn around and sell those benefit cards for cash of about $100 and never actually use the benefits for what they are intended for, which is really just putting food on the table for our citizens.
And so can they claim, well, the card was lost and I need another one and keep doing it?
That's exactly right. And oftentimes we can use some of the data that's collected on these cards to find out if we have, you know, specific individuals that have a consistent problem or a consistent habit of, quote unquote, losing those cards. They're usually a ripe target for someone that is actually using the cards in an illegal fashion.
Because according to the GAO, what seems to be the way they were going at this at the SNAP program was to compare, say, the database of people they were sending cards to with the death databases from other parts of the government and similar types of information to make sure that at least the people existed and were alive. But that doesn't sound like a very fine-grained way at getting at the whole problem.
That is true, and one of the challenges that all of the government has is sharing of data. We're a very private country, and privacy laws are very important to us. So having the ability to share data across, you know, the Social Security Administration with OMB and with programs like the SNAP program at FNS, that can sometimes cause a large challenge. So another way to go about solving this problem is actually using the data that we have on the cards and that FNS already contains. And if we can apply, you know, the proper type of analytics and mathematical algorithms, we can start uncovering some of these programs and some of the problems that we're having.
Well, if someone is selling their card and getting another one, it doesn't seem that complicated to simply flag the people that are getting more than one of the requisite number of cards per month. What is the subtlety here? What more can they do beyond that?
Well, there's a number of different ways and a number of different analytics that can be applied. I don't want to get into specifics because I don't want to give anything away that FNS is doing to prevent these things, but there are a lot of different techniques that can be used. You mentioned one of them, which is anomaly detection, which if you look at an individual person and notice that they are getting more benefits than the average person and that therefore being an anomaly, that's one indication of how of a risk that person is participating in some illegal activity. But there's other ways through predictive modeling that we can assess different behaviors that are out there. Maybe the person is getting the same amount of cards that he should, but has a habit of redeeming those cards in different ways. So, for instance, instead of just going across the street from a geographical location and just going a mile up the road to redeem the card, maybe they're driving 15, 20 minutes outside of where they actually live because they're redeeming the card with a vendor that is helping them conduct this illegal activity. So looking at things geographically is one way of doing it. There's link analysis where we can link different associations or networks of people. So at that point, you're looking at family members, business associates, different types of vendors out there, and really trying to get a holistic picture of what the actual the program is trying to prevent.
Now, it seems like one of the difficulties here is that type of information might be in multiple sources. It wouldn't be in a nice, neat database where you could simply write a query against it to find out.
That's exactly right. And then one of the bigger challenges these days is the data integration part of it. Like you said, there are lots of pieces of data spread out all over different databases. They're in different formats, different languages. And it's in one of the benefits of the technology that FNS is applying right now is it's pulling all that data into one place, cleaning it up, deduplicating it, filling in some of the holes in the data, and that allows us to start with a kind of clean sheet of music, if you will, to start drilling down on the analysis. But the data integration is one of the major challenges, especially in this time of in this day and age. There's data everywhere. Our phones are collecting data. The problem isn't data anymore. It's how to sift through all the data. In the past, it's been we just didn't have enough data to do really good analytics. That is exactly the opposite now. We have so much data, it's where do we start?
And so does SAS have a system going in there? Are you helping SNAP get at some of these problems?
Absolutely. We're doing it at both the federal and the state level. At the states look at the recipients themselves that are receiving the benefits, and the federal government USDA FNS is looking at the retailers that are accepting these benefits. So yes, we've got a pretty good program in there doing some really interesting and unique analytics on that data and finding some pretty interesting results.
Because I know sometimes the food and nutrition service employees will go to a store and pose as someone helping out someone buy beer or the wrong types of products you're not supposed to buy with SNAP benefits. But that's an expensive and really point way of doing it. It doesn't get at the whole picture, I guess.
That's exactly right. And having the ability to know if you bought $100 worth of groceries, of which $60 was for things like milk and sugar and flour and things that, you know, are nutrition-based as opposed to beer and dog food and things like that, having that data and being able to separate those two is something that we work hard to get to.
And one of the issues in so many federal benefits programs is getting from a state, or improper payments for that matter, is getting from a state of chasing it once you know it's happened and trying to recover it versus getting around in front of it. And how can these tools help prevent this kind of thing? I guess it's called predictive analysis. And how do you get started to prevent rather than chase and recover?
Yeah, pay and chase is definitely not the model that we'd like to use. It's a lot easier to stop the payment from going out at the beginning than it is to actually recover the funds after they've been lost. In fact, it's a very small percentage of funds that can actually be recovered after the money's already gone out. So in using predictive analytics, we can look at things like behavioral patterns and see any types of anomalies or networks that are out there before the payment's actually made to the person. If we can tell that person's has a high probability or a high risk score of being fraudulent or using the program in ways that are illegal, then we can stop the payment from going to that person, or at least do some more investigation before we send the money out. And that's a lot better way to stop things, because then we can use that money to send to other people that are genuinely in need and use the program appropriately.
We're speaking with John Lemon. He's a systems engineer with SAS Federal. And my other question is, how do you know what questions to ask? In other words, you can ingest every piece of data you have on a program. And since SNAP, in this case, we're talking about SNAP, covers 47 million people in the United States, and all of the data associated with them is certainly big data. But how do you know where to begin to know what to ask it to find out where the problems might be occurring?
And that is one of the major challenges. I mean, we have a lot of what I like to call data wizards within SAS that know how to comb through data at very, very granular levels. But we also have to combine that skill set with people that know the SNAP benefits program, what types of crimes people are trying to commit, how they commit those crimes, when they like to commit those crimes. So putting those two skill sets together, the knowledge of the program itself as well as the knowledge of how to sift through all that data, that combination can help inform what types of questions that we're looking for. So it's things like, you know, geography that I mentioned earlier. If you're not familiar with how the program works, you wouldn't know to look for someone that is spending their benefits way outside of their geographical norm, if you will. But having that knowledge of the program and how the criminals are conducting themselves, that becomes a question we ask. And then as soon as you ask a question like that, that tends to lead to other questions as you start drilling down into the data itself.
And is there a way of building in the program rules into the data analysis such that, say, if someone's minimum income level required or the maximum that you can get this benefit, for example, that kind of thing, can the system know the rules and so automatically flag outliers just based on the rules?
That's exactly right, and that's what we do. When we find something that we know is happening or that is outside the norm or that we know is a problem, we can put those rules in the system, and that's where you can stop the payment from going out. But unfortunately, a lot of the problem with the rules is it's a good first line of defense because it takes away some of the easy and more obvious schemes out there. But it's by far not the only line of defense. You have to have multiple layers of analytics, such as, you know, the anomaly detection and predictive modeling, link analysis and stuff like that, to kind of weave a tighter net in detection. So rules are good, but they're very limited in what they can achieve, because some of your more advanced, more sophisticated criminals will find those rules and figure out ways to get around them. And then when another rule's put up, they're going to get back to work on trying to figure out how to get that around that new rule.
It seems like this type of tool can be used in a lot of benefits programs. So my question is, traditionally, when you have a traditional database, a rows and columns relational database, and you want reports, you've got to go to somebody that knows how to write reports, and maybe you'll get it this week or next month or in a couple of months, the kind of thing you're looking for. Can these modern tools be used by people that are actually program experts as opposed to IT experts, so they can query and get the answers they want without going through a whole IT process?
Yeah, and that's one of the key parts of our product, is it's built for the business users. These are people that don't know IT very well, don't know statistics very well, but they do know the programs very well. And I talked earlier about to kind of marrying that skill set of understanding the program with the actual skill set of being able to use the analytics and the algorithms. There are all types of formulas and algorithms out there that I'd have no idea how to calculate, but I can click on that algorithm and say, hey, apply this analytical technique to this set of data and tell me what the results are. Now, if you really wanted to dig into the algorithm and make changes and based on nuances and stuff like that, you'd probably need a statistics degree or an IT degree. But if you're just looking to apply a statistical technique on top of a set of data, we make it very easy to drop and drag and put it in layman's terms, if you will, so a common business user can use it.
And aside from purchasing tools and services from, say, SAS or competing vendors, what should a program do to get ready to be able to get into predictive analysis?
Well, I think one of the first things is understanding what the problem is that you're trying to solve. And in this case, you know, we're looking for people that are using the SNAP benefits cards inappropriately. And then once you know what the problem you're trying to solve is, it's gathering the data around there. Once you've got gotten over those two hurdles, at that point it's probably time to talk to a vendor such as SAS. To sit down and say, hey, okay, I think I've got a problem here. This is the data I have at my disposal. What are some other things I should be looking at? What are the types of questions that I should be asking? What are the type of analytics I can be applying? And what are the expected results from those? And you know, any vendor worth their salt is going to have good answers for you to show you how this can be done and show you what the results are that we've achieved in the past with it.
So it should really start with kind of a suspicious mindset if you're going to be able to get after this in your own program.
That's exactly right. And there's plenty of skeptics out there, as you're probably well aware, the GAOs of the world and the IGs of the world and citizens themselves. So there's definitely a lot of criticism out there, the federal programs. And for the most part, FNS has done a wonderful job at this point. They have less than 1% of a fraud problem. However, because these programs are so large, 1% still represents a large sum of money that you know, we should either not be paying taxes for, or that we could be given to someone else to legitimately put food on their table.
That's a lot of sliced cheese. John Lemon is a systems engineer with SAS Federal. Thanks so much for joining me.
I appreciate it, Tom. Thank you.